Good evening, folks, and welcome back on this Saturday, the 16th day of October, 2021. I'm your host, Mark Hall, and let me start off tonight's look at what's going on in the nation and the world this way. Is there still any doubt that it's just plain evil and that the intent of those in power, not necessarily in genuine authority, remember, is to utterly destroy, tear down, and then rebuild better, meaning more totalitarian, certainly, and more neo-communo-fascist via the Great Reset or a living hell on earth, call it what you want. And in the process, they intend to kill hundreds of millions of people or more if they can get away with it. And it looks so far like they are. As we start off tonight, I guess it's time for an admission. I'm literally sick and tired of giving anybody associated with the greatest, most pervasive, evil attack on all that was once called Western civilization, the God of the Bible, or for crying out loud, yeah, truth, justice, and the American way, the so-called benefit of the doubt anymore. For literally years now, as long as I've been doing radio, I have suggested the old maxim, never ascribe to conspiracy, that which can be explained by stupidity, and now we certainly have to say stupidity on steroids, but for a long time now, I've been arguing something different. There comes a time, and I will suggest we're well past that now, when it's impossible for anybody with half a brain to argue that what is going on here is mere stupidity writ large. We're way, way beyond mere stupidity. There is no explanation, folks, for the kind of evil coming out of the swamp in Washington, D.C., and Communist Canada, and Hitlerian Australia, and fallen from Great Britain, and so on, other than pure, unmitigated, well beyond totalitarian, and I'm going to say it, outright satanic levels of evil. They want hundreds of millions of people dead, and nobody, but nobody that's been paying attention, can continue to deny that. They've got a mark of the beast to implement, so that no one can buy or sell without taking the Zyklon B poison poke. Now let's just introduce all of what we're going to talk about tonight with a quick review of the facts. How many are already dead? Even by the most lying estimates, like out of the VAERS system, 15,000? Yeah, sure. Even though that number is 300 times more than the 50 that the infamous swine flu vaccine, which really was a vaccine, was halted in its tracks for. What's the actual number of dead from the stroke poke? Well, you know they're going to lie about it. They're certainly not going to tell you. But it's far closer to 1 to 5 million than it is to 100,000. And yeah, good luck getting a number that have had their lives ruined or that have already been sterilized for life. So let me say it again. This is nothing but pure evil. Why else would they continue to lie through their damnable teeth about something like ivermectin? Yeah, the patents have long expired, so it's not as expensive as the poison poke, certainly not as deadly. But the only explanation, the only real explanation for something that saved arguably hundreds of millions of people in India alone, but that Big Brother's Worldwide Ministry of Truth has made completely verboten to talk about on socialist media and the licensed press, is that they want to completely destroy what's left of the world economy, and they want a whole lot of people dead.
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
And here, folks, I will use the biblical term, because for those with, yes, eyes to see, there's just no more denying it. This week, Dr. Jane Ruby, appearing first with Stu Peters on his show, later with people like Doug Hagman on his, has acknowledged what the waste stream has been trying to hide really, really hard. Crowd killer airlines, and that now means most of them, that have been trying to inject their pilots with the poison poke so that they just might keel over in flight and take a bunch of people with them, have been having all kinds of problems with pilots incapacitated. Who could have thought it? By crap. By, well, coronavirus spike proteins, if you prefer, overwhelming their heart, their lungs, their neural systems. First, back in early summer, there were reports that later were denied by the lying media, who allegedly died after taking the poison poke.
These aren't the droids you're looking for.
There was a Middle Eastern Airlines pilot that took the poison poke, then suffered a mid-air incident. After an emergency landing, he died at the hospital. Nothing to see here either. Move along. Here then, a bit of July 1 dated BS from factcheck.org, and I gotta say sick after that, don't I? It says, following the deaths of four British Airways pilots and five Air India pilots, socialist media posts, they spelled it wrong, claimed without proof, hey, is there any other kind, that pilots died as a result of receiving the COVID-19 poison poke. And yes, folks, I changed the word there because this is not a vaccine. They lie about that, too. Oh, and I guess I would at least mention this in passing, since it's germane. The U.S. Department of Transportation released their early motor vehicle traffic fatalities report for the first quarter of 2021 this week. Turns out that there were 10% more fatal accidents during the first part of this year post-vaccine, in spite of the fact that a lot fewer miles were being driven. So maybe it's not just airline pilots that are keeling over behind the yoke, or the wheel, as a result of the Zyklon B mandates. Anyway, this week, Dr. Jane Ruby and Stu Peters revealed that they have now up to 4 different whistleblowers from within Delta Airlines telling the same story about an emergency landing made after a Delta pilot became, let's just say, incapacitated in flight. And would you believe they're still covering that up? Of course, you'd have to be a CNN employee not to realize why. And this, of course, follows on the heels of a story I did not too long ago about a U.S. Army flight surgeon, Lieutenant Colonel Teresa Long of the 1st Aviation Brigade in Fort Rucker, Alabama, who warned in late September about what are called problematic heart side effects that may cause pilots to die in mid-flight. So therefore, one might conclude if your goal wasn't to destroy the U.S. military entirely, they're not airworthy. And let's follow that up with this story, folks, because it looks like they don't merely want you dead if you fly a commercial crowd killer. They also want you dead if you serve in the United States military or think that you're defending it from foreign aggressors who are no less evil than what's being done to them out of Washington, D.C. Of course, it still is the same communist puppet master, remember? Courtesy of Zero Hedge and others, because remember, they're an aggregator. The headline says, Navy announces plans to expel those daring to refuse the COVID vaccine, a.k.a. the Zyklon B poison poke, and revoke their benefits. I'd put a different headline on this one, folks. Wanted, dead sailors. You may recall that back at the end of August, the Pentagram, and that's the correct way to spell it nowadays, initially announced a mandate for all military personnel across all of the United States Armed Service branches, ordering them to immediately bend over and take one for the deadly team. A memo issued by, and I'm going to put this word in there, traitorous Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin at the time, directed the secretaries of the various military departments to, quote, immediately begin full vaccination, sick, of all members of the armed forces under DOD authority on active duty or in the ready reserves, including the National Guard, who are not fully vaccinated, sick, against COVID-19. Yeah, 84, unquote. However, when that bit of treason masquerading as a mandate went out, it was unclear precisely what repercussions members of the military would face if they decided to disobey an unlawful order, stand up for the oath that they took before God, and otherwise protect their own health against enemies domestic. A number of lawsuits have been filed against the DOD by various troops, arguing that the order violates individual medical freedom, not to mention a whole lot of other stuff that doesn't matter anymore, like the UCMJ, the United States Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the biblical injunction about participating in murder or suicide. And until this week, at least, the Pentagon had remained ambiguous about how they would threaten soldiers or sailors that had half a brain, a backbone, or any remaining integrity. But on Thursday, November 28th, says the piece, the U.S. Navy made it clear to their personnel that they would either take the poison poke by November 28th or be expelled from the service. Quote, with COVID-19 vaccines, sick, now mandatory for all military members, the Navy has announced plans to start processing for discharge those who refuse vaccination, sick, without a pending or approved exemption, unquote, said that now disgraced branch in an official statement. AFP notes that now that it's official Pentagon policy to expel troops across the board for refusing the clot shot or poison poke, this could create, and I think it's intended to, folks, a significant problem for U.S. defense readiness, given that it would inevitably, and let's just hope it's sooner rather than later so that most of them survive, involve a mass exit of troops. Full stop. Let me ask it again. Can anybody out there listening to stuff like this still believe, even for a second, that this isn't deliberate? Said the report, if the services all take the same hard line that the Navy is now taking, it risks losing as many as 46,000 troops, though presumably more will take the poison poke, they didn't say it that way, obviously, before the deadline. Oh, and ponder this, isn't that a strangely appropriate term, now? Oh, yeah, and that reminds me, there will at least be one traitor who is going to get his full pension, and he probably doesn't have to take the poison poke to get it either, Andrew McCabe, the disgraced Russia-Gate FBI agent, who was caught lying over and over again at least four times to the DOJ and FBI, will receive his full pension, says another piece from Zero Hedge, more than 3 years after he was fired by the Trump administration and the Department of Justice, according to the New York Times. And he's also going to get $200,000. Hey, good luck if you're a regular peon on that kind of bucks in missed pension payments. I guess that puts to rest any concerns about those who are caught committing major felonies or treason if they have the right connections that they'll ever be held accountable. So from there, let's back up a bit and fill in some of the gaps from over the weekend and slightly before, like late last week when the Biden Fuhrer traveled to socialist Chicago to promote his unconstitutional death mandates and require the vaccine for everybody that walks or breathes. Biden struggled to read the teleprompter after taking a tour of the Clayco construction site in Elk Grove Village. At one point, even forgetting where he was, whether it was Ohio or Pennsylvania. I'm from Pennsylvania, he said, gesturing to himself. Then he defended mass firings and the loss by thousands upon thousands of people of their jobs because of his tyrannical vaccine mandates. The hell with freedom and the Constitution seems to be the most important part of this because
these requirements work.
Yeah, we're not only destroying lots and lots of jobs and livelihoods, but we're killing people outright, whether they've figured that out yet or not.
These requirements work. And as the Business Roundtable and others told me when I announced the first requirement, that encouraged businesses to feel they could come in and demand the same thing of their employees.
Yeah, isn't that amazing? Tyranny's kind of like a cancer. Once Big Brother mandates it, other people feel free to do the same evil kind of thing, and it spreads. It metastasizes, like the cancer that it is.
More people are getting vaccinated. More lives are being saved. Let's be clear. When you see headlines and reports of mass firings and hundreds of people losing their jobs, look at the bigger story.
You got to break a few eggs to make an omelet. How else are you going to get the population down unless we kill hundreds of millions of people? See, this is all part of the bigger plan. Look at the bigger picture, folks. Don't lose sight of that. They really do want a whole lot of people dead. And making the same case, coincidentally from the same place, Customs and Border Patrol officials at Chicago's O'Hare International Airport, one of the multiple contenders for Tyranny Central, have captured two small packages of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. And those drugs wouldn't have even raised eyebrows before the COVID pandemic and cover-up, but since the far left and the media have politicized the completely safe, inexpensive, and effective medications, customs agents are now on the lookout for these cheap things that may help people avoid being either killed or subjected to the poison poke. The agents captured two separate scores totaling 132 ivermectin pills and 40 hydroxychloroquine pills. Meanwhile, though, Mexican cartels, with the cooperation of the leftists in command, continue to smuggle record amounts of fentanyl into the country each and every year, along with who knows how many hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens that are killing far, far, far more people than these safe, effective drugs ever would have dreamed of. Call it another sign of the times. So is this one. I'm going to call it another related story, courtesy of Paul Joseph Watson and his Summit News, about Dr. Robert Malone, the fellow who invented, and maybe he's sorry about it now, the mRNA vaccines, saying that he's been branded a terrorist by the left-stream media in Italy and warns that physicians who speak out are now being, quote, hunted via medical boards and the press. Quote, I'm going to speak bluntly, he tweeted. Physicians who speak out are being actively hunted via medical boards and the press, and they're trying to delegitimize this and pick us off one by one. This, he said, is not a conspiracy theory. This is a fact. Please wake up. This is happening globally. He goes on to say, I was labeled a terrorist in the Italian press when I was in Rome for the International COVID Summit. My crime? Advocating for early treatment of COVID-19 disease. And I suggest, he said, that merits a bit of meditation. He's also been fiercely demonized for his assertion that children shouldn't be abused by making them take COVID-19 vaccines that aren't really vaccines. And he's also highlighted concerns over links to risks of myocarditis and other related side effects or outright fatal complications. All of these concerns, says Watson, have now been justified by Finland, Denmark, and Sweden all halting the Moderna jab for younger males after reports of a number of cardiovascular side effects. But it's not just Orwell's boot stomping a human face forever that they want, or even megadeaths to decrease the surplus population. In the short term, complete worldwide economic destruction is certainly on the agenda. You may have heard it called the Great Reset or Build Back Better, but I like the term Build Back Bogus better, because you already know who's not going to get to play. And we'll start with things that normal people with half a brain are no longer allowed to do, or at least they know better. And that's get on a commercial crowd killer, a.k.a. Big Brother regulated airline. And over the weekend, there are no doubt a whole lot more that wish they hadn't even tried. Over the weekend, says a summary from Zero Hedge, one of several that I'm looking at this morning, Southwest Airlines canceled nearly 2,000 flights between Saturday and Sunday, blaming the FAA and the weather. According to FlightAware, they canceled over 1,000 flights on Sunday alone, stranding all kinds of mask wearers in places they really didn't want to be. Said the company spokeslayer, "We are working hard behind the scenes to minimize challenges and fully recover the operation as we take care of displaced crews and customers as quickly as possible," unquote, without elaborating on the nature of the flight disruptions. There was, however, speculation on socialist media that the flight cancellations just may have been triggered by employees calling in sick en masse, or maybe calling in unvaccinated. In a statement made on Saturday, however, Southwest did not make any reference to the speculation. A story later Sunday afternoon, courtesy of Christina Leyla and the Gateway Pundit, said that Southwest had canceled their nearly 2,000 flights as rumors swirled that employees just may be on strike over the poison poke mandate. Because Southwest employees, a.k.a. slaves, it would seem now, have until December 8th to comply or else. And you know what, folks? As I was putting this part of the story together, I couldn't help but hearken back to a story dated September 30th, courtesy of Arsenio Toledo, in which a labor union representing thousands of pilots in the United States declared their opposition to the utterly tyrannical, unconstitutional, but who cares anymore, COVID Zyklon B mandates, and that group warned that vaccine requirements would trigger, maybe they were right, a whole lot of chaos. It was the Airline Pilots Association, representing around 15,000 pilots, who worked, in this case, for American Airlines, that reacted to the mandate, now no longer speculative, much less a conspiracy theory, which they said could affect the entire industry. Back on October 4th, Southwest CEO Gary Kelly announced that, quote, "Southwest Airlines must join our industry peers in complying with the federal government's COVID-19 vaccination directive," explaining that they work as a federal contractor. So, Achtung, they say jump, we say how high, even if that means the employees have to jump off the cliff. The Russian roulette suicide mandate, though, did at least prompt a lawsuit from Southwest Pilot Union, the Southwest Airline Pilots Association, which is seeking a court injunction against the mandate. Silly and a waste of time, though, that probably will turn out to be. Meanwhile, as of Sunday morning, there were long lines at Southwest ticket counters in the Tampa Regional Airport. According to local media, B.J. Romero, a passenger, told local Fox 13, "I have two kids. I have appointments. I have work. I can't miss work. I have people relying on me, so I have to be home. That's not going to work for me," unquote. And what this guy needs to figure out is neither is the United States economy nor its tyrannical government. Asked about Southwest's claim that bad weather may have caused the mass cancellations, Romero wasn't buying it. Quote, "That sounds like baloney to me," he told the station. "The weather is fine in all connecting areas. There's no bad weather. There's got to be something behind the scenes they're not telling us," unquote. Well, one thing it would seem that they weren't telling BJ or anyone else also comes from the Gateway Pundit about a media blackout, where the headline says it's not just Southwest Airlines. Air traffic controllers in Jacksonville reportedly walked out on Friday night, too, protesting their mandatory Zyklon B pokes. And the media blacked out that news that hundreds of flights out of Jacksonville were canceled due to walkouts in response to tyranny there. And as of Monday morning, the cancellations continued, as did the rumors and the denials. But Zero Hedge published an update with a whole bunch of tweets from the Southwest COO saying things like, "Still short on workers, especially flight crews." Saying things like, "We need more staffing cushion for disruptions, and we cannot tell you that we're out of the woods yet." Which leads me directly to a Monday morning op-ed by one of my favorites, former congressman and presidential candidate Dr. Ron Paul, who says, quote, "The incredible cruelty and folly of forced vaccines has finally come home to roost. The vaccine mandate backlash," he suggested, "has been bubbling just under the surface, but now it's spilled out into the open, threatening to completely derail an already crumbling economy and to obliterate a deeply unpopular U.S. president," and I have to put sick after that, "and regime," he used the term administration. But as you know, I don't think that word belongs in the same sentence with the communist Chinese puppet regime either. Continues Dr. Paul, seemingly out of nowhere, what appears to be a Southwest Airlines rebellion has taken flight over the weekend. According to media reports, scores of pilots and other Southwest employees have coordinated the taking of sick days to use them up in advance of a Southwest Airlines mandate to take the poison poke or lose their job. And following the cancellation we've been talking about of more than 2,000 flights, airports are experiencing full-on mayhem. The waystream media, he continues, is doing its best to keep a lid on the expanding rebellion against the vaccine mandates, and Southwest itself is blaming the cancellations on bad weather and a lack of air traffic controllers, which may in fact be a related issue, your host notes again. Ironically, though, only Southwest seems to be experiencing these so-called weather-related cancellations. And an FAA spokeslayer told USA Today that, quote, no FAA air traffic staffing shortages have been reported, well, since Friday, unquote. Meanwhile, says Dr. Paul, rumors continue to circle that this is all only the beginning. Over the past few weeks, thousands of nurses, medical workers, and first responders have either quit or been fired for refusing a so-called medical treatment that basically amounts to assisted self-genocide, the so-called nursing shortage that Democrat politicians and the waystream media have been blaming on rising COVID cases has in reality, says Dr. Paul, been a man-made disaster of historic proportions. The nursing crisis is not caused by COVID. Cases have been in decline in the United States for weeks. In fact, it's caused by the firing of medical personnel who refused to take the experimental COVID poke. And he continues, the stupidity of adopting a policy of firing healthcare workers, especially folks since these are the good ones, the ones who know better, while at the same time claiming there is a raging plandemic gripping the country, have not been lost on Americans, in spite of the best attempts of the criminally negligent networks. Unsurprisingly, the senile puppet-in-chief's polling numbers have been in freefall, with major socialist, i.e. Democrat candidates like Virginia's Terry McAuliffe, openly complaining that the deeply unpopular Biden is threatening him in a tight race for governor. Hey, Terry, you want to separate yourself from that boat anchor? Just come right out and admit it. The election was a fraud. And with other high-ranking Nazi officials like Fauci telling Americans they can't celebrate Christmas again this year, more and more of America, he says, is finished with this alleged public health terrorism. Here in Texas, he notes, 100,000 unmasked Texas A&M fans poured onto the football field Saturday after a last-minute surprise victory over Alabama, meaning that in Texas and elsewhere, the regime is losing their oh-so-coveted fear factor. History, he concludes, may record this weekend as the turning point against the Biden regime's COVID tyranny. From nurses to pilots to truckers to even Amtrak workers, it appears that America may finally be standing up and saying enough. Every one of our fellow citizens standing on principle to oppose tyranny, facing the loss of their jobs and their security, not to mention everything that generations of Americans have fought and died for, are owed a debt of gratitude by those who love liberty. Let's all hope, he concludes, that the peaceful revolution continues to grow. Let's pray he's right. But meanwhile, it's interesting and even encouraging to see more nominal leftists continuing to come around. One such is Joe Rogan, who certainly has a colorful way of expressing the truth and a massive audience besides. This week, he took a great big whopping liar from CNN, their so-called medical guy, Sanjay Gupta, to task for some of their big whopping lies about ivermectin, and it was downright epic.
Horse dewormer's not a flattering thing, I get
it's
that.
It's a lie. It's a lie on a news network, it's a lie that's a willing... That's a lie that they're conscious of. It's not a mistake.
Yeah.
They're unfavorably framing it as veterinary medicine.
Well, the FDA put this thing out. You saw that.
Yeah, let's shift the blame to them.
It was a tweet, and it was snarky. I admit it. They said, you are not a horse, you are not a cow, stop taking this stuff, or something like that.
Why would you say that when you're talking about a drug that's been given out to billions and billions of people, a drug that was responsible for one of the inventors of it making the
Nobel Prize.
Winning the Nobel Prize in 2015.
15, yeah.
Yeah, no, a drug that has been shown to stop viral replication in vitro. You know that, right? Why would they lie and say that's horse dewormer? I can afford people medicine, motherfucker. This is ridiculous. It's just a lie.
I don't think anyone is
But don't you think that a lie like that is dangerous on a news network when you know that they know they're lying?
Rogan shows in the bottle. Gupta tries to sidestep.
The thing is, we're like going so fast. Like, I feel like I'm missing.
Do you think that's a problem, that your news network
it was not,
lies?
Well, I don't.
Dude.
I mean, what did they say?
They lied and said I was taking horse dewormer.
And yeah, it was even prescribed by a licensed people doctor. So Gupta continues prevaricating, admitting though lots of people have taken it. He's careful to work in the term anti-parasitic. But we're out of time for this segment, and this one's so good we'll pick it up here right after we get back. Welcome back now to the second segment for this evening, folks. I'm Mark Call, and we're talking about a world where it's pretty darn obvious that the real intent here has nothing to do with your health or your well-being at all. They intend to enslave you, destroy you, and outright kill you. And as we went to break, I interrupted Joe Rogan making that point, colorfully and very firmly, to a nasty shill from one of the very worst offenders among the Ministry of Truth criminally negligent networks. Here's Joe, not quite shaming, Sanjay Gupta.
So you think that's a problem, that your news network lies?
Well, I don't.
Dude.
What did they say?
They lied and said I was taking horse dewormer.
And yeah, it was even prescribed by a licensed people doctor. So Gupta continues prevaricating, admitting though lots of people have taken it. He's careful to work in the term anti-parasitic.
Can I just come back to the one I want to talk about?
No, two things on the ledger. Before we get to that, does it bother you that the news network you work for out and out lied, outright lied about me taking horse dewormer?
They shouldn't have said that.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
You didn't ask? You're the medical guy over there.
I didn't ask. I should have asked before coming on
the
podcast.
But they did it with such glee.
No,
yes,
Joe.
They did. I watched.
And we'd all better be paying attention. The lies, however, continue unabated. And the next day, CNN was in full damage control mode. And one of their worst mouthpieces from Moloch, Don Lemon, said, quote, "It's not a lie," as if that made a difference to him, to say that ivermectin is used as a horse dewormer. I think that's important. Yeah, especially if your goal is to try to convince people, folks, to take the poison poke and die. And they follow that up with one of the biggest whoppers of all time, in context. Quote, "If you look at the data, there's no evidence that it really works against COVID." Well, wait just a blankety-blankin' minute. On that yardstick, there's no evidence that the mRNA gene therapy works, at least against COVID. On the other hand, there's plenty of evidence that if your goal really is global genocide, it works hellishly well. So they ignore side effects, they ignore outright deaths, and they ignore lives saved when it comes to alternatives. And here you do have to love another avowed leftist who at least is an honest journalist. And I'm talking about Glenn Greenwald. He had two tweets after watching the CNN debacle. First, he said, quote, "Just look at how often, casually and blatantly, CNN lies about people. And then, when one of their employees is forced to admit that they lied, when directly confronted by the person they lied about, they force him to go on air and humiliate himself by backtracking. CNN," he said, "is utter shit." But he wasn't done yet. Also, he said, notice what a little worm Sanjay Gupta is. When he had to confront Rogan face to face, he admitted CNN lied about him and shouldn't have said what they said. Then, back on CNN, pressured by Lemon, he stuttered and obfuscated. Just look at the difference. It's worse than absolutely pathetic, folks. Yeah, it's downright satanic. It's part and parcel of a massive war against the American people and indeed what's left of the entire free world. And those who don't wake up are about to find out it's too late. And on that score, this next headline from Zero Hedge about a massive wealth distribution statistic that the Federal Reserve has now released, cementing U.S. status as a banana republic, because the numerically tiny but still vastly powerful uber-rich now have a larger share of the total U.S. national wealth at 27% than the entire middle 60% combined. And yes, as Zero Hedge's headline, "The pandemic thus wiped out the entire savings of 20% of all U.S. households." Personally, folks, I'd have gone with a more George Bush-style headline, "Mission Accomplished." But of course, not everybody has yet been subjected to the Zyklon B poison poke. So they're really not finished yet. So from there, let's continue our goose step towards the gulag review With a couple of pieces to show just how far gone the entire concept of freedom is, not just in the Biden-Fuhrer regime, but worldwide. And if anything, things may be even worse up a bit further north in Canada, where their wannabe dictator, Justin Trudeau, have you noticed how he not only looks like Fidel, but takes after him too, has announced that starting October 30th, any slave or Canadian citizen wishing to board a plane, train, or cruise in and out of Canada will be required to show, Achtung, your papers and nobita, their vaccine passport, a.k.a. mark of this beast, allegedly proving that they took the poison poke, the Zyklon B injection, in order to be allowed, at least until they change the rules again, to travel. And this is funny, folks. Dictator Trudeau announced the measure, saying that those who took the shot and have thus poisoned themselves, quote, deserve their freedom back, unquote. And I guess they better hurry while they still have some life left in them. Take that cruise, in other words, before your immune system fails completely or you have a heart attack. Says the coverage from Natural News. The new diktat from Canada is one of the strictest rules implemented in the world thus far, essentially forcing any citizen who does not comply to become an absolute social outcast, although many have begun to push back against these stated mandates, even though they have been largely disarmed, and suggest that they're an attack on human dignity. But given that they don't have much choice, you gotta ask, what are they gonna do? Lawyer John Carpe, president of Canada's so-called Justice Center, a legal advocacy firm defending citizens' fundamental freedoms under what they call their Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms, which don't include much in the way of real rights or freedoms, says, quote, the government is seeking to have 100% of Canadians injected with the experimental mRNA vaccine, SICK, which has not been subjected to any long-term testing on humans, well, unless you count the guinea pigs that are dying like flies now. And he added that the current policies are a violation of human rights, not to mention the Nuremberg Convention, folks, cloaked under the guise of science. And haven't we seen a whole lot of appeals to that great god lately? Meanwhile, in America with a K, the Federal Death Agency is doubling down on their own lies about COVID and what they intend to do to you. They responded to Nordic countries having limited the use of the Moderna COVID-1984 vaccine, SICK, last week, saying that the shot's benefits, funny, isn't it? There really aren't any. Outweigh the risks, which obviously include paralysis, death, and total destruction. Health officials in Finland, Norway, and Sweden said Zero Hedge's coverage, as well as Iceland, now have suspended the use of the Moderna poke for younger people due to the obvious risk of side effects, including little trivial things like myocarditis. Sweden said it would pause the vaccine for people under the age of 30, while Denmark did the same for those under 18. Finland said males under age 30 shouldn't receive the poison poke, while Icelandic officials added over the weekend that they would suspend use of the poison shot as well. The FDA, for their part, said we could care less. Quote, the FDA is aware of these data at this time. Ha ha! The FDA continues to find the known and potential benefits of vaccination. That's my story. Oh, that's my story. Well, I ain't got a witness and I can't prove it, but that's my story and I'm sticking to it. And that certainly deserved the entire fanfare, folks. Outweigh the known and potential risks for the Moderna COVID-1984 vaccine, which we all know is not really a vaccine anyway, but that's only a tiny part of the great big whopping stinking lie they're plopping on the floor here, said an FDA official in a statement to news outlets over the weekend in response to the Nordic nation's decision to turn back from the brink of genocide, at least for certain age groups. Let me say it one more time. How many more stories like this do we need before it's pretty blankety-blank and obvious that they really, truly do intend to kill hundreds of millions of people? From there, let's go down under for another look at the possibility, at least, of a big reason why. This is a bombshell courtesy of Ethan Huff, also at Natural News, about the Australian wannabe tyrant Gladys Berejiklian, who we now know was bribed and blackmailed by Big Pharma in order to impose their draconian, tyrannical, deadly Zyklon B mandate. I don't know about you folks, but I find that mass murder for hire really does tend to tick me off. Yes, we know the poison poke is evil, but the good news, says the piece, is that some of these shameless profiteers, including the evil Gladys Berejiklian of New South Wales, Australia, are finally getting exposed for their obvious continuing crimes against humanity. She was recently forced to resign from her post after being blackmailed by Big Pharma to force the so-called vaccines on innocent Aussies. because otherwise the pharmaceutical drug cartels had told her they were going to charge her in a corruption probe. So, hoping to save herself from the ire of the drug kingpins, Berejiklian complied with their demands, only to eventually get outed anyway. Now she finds herself in the spotlight, along with other treasonous mass-murdering criminals, albeit still clearly unindicted, like Tony Fauci and Francis Collins. Lest we forget, the infamous Berejiklian told residents of Sydney just prior to her resignation that, quote, if they don't take the COVID jab, they face total social isolation indefinitely after the stay-at-home order ends in December, unquote. Clive Palmer, a former member of Australia's Parliament and the current leader of the United Australia Party, was the first to blow the lid on Berejiklian's criminality just a few weeks back, and now his comments are attracting fresh attention after she was basically forced to resign in disgrace over an unrelated, how many of these do we have to see, corruption probe. Quote, Palmer dropped a bomb when a jabbering journalist tried to push the NSW government lies about some 1,600 so-called cases and that people really were dying from COVID-19. And the only way out for a lockdown small business in New South Wales was for most of the population to take the double poison poke, said Cairns News. But while speaking to a reporter who told him about Sydney business owners being told they couldn't reopen, Palmer shot back by telling this person, quote, the premier is lying to them. And he added, I'd say that she's under an ICAC inquiry, but a particular lobbyist in Sydney controls the Liberal Party in Sydney and told her the only way she gets out of that inquiry is if she pushes the double jab. And his clients are AstraZeneca, and his clients are Pfizer, added Palmer. From there, on we go to some other fallout from the massive bioweapon injection program, but at least these stories may indicate turning a possible corner. It was inevitable, said a piece from Tyler Durden and Zero Hedge, as vaccine mandates across the country approach their deadlines, that vast swaths of American workers, service members, and athletes face termination or disciplinary action for failing to commit voluntary suicide via the Zyklon B poke. In Los Angeles, nearly 1,000 firefighters are about to sue the city there, wonder if that'll do any good, over that unlawful mandate, while the Southwest Airlines Pilot Union has sued that company last week before staffing shortages led to the cancellation of more than 2,000 flights over the weekend and possibly more this week. Meanwhile, doctors and nurses across the country, the good ones who actually know something about medicine, have begun suing their employers and, of course, massively refusing to take the poison poke. Interestingly, a group of officers from the LAPD sued over the mandate, and Sheriff Alex Villanueva there announced he would not force anyone to take the poke, but not the People's Republic of Seattle, which stands to lose 40% of its 1,000-person force for failing to bend over and take one for the team as their October 18th deadline approaches. Quote, the environment has been pretty toxic and negative, said one officer anonymously to local Fox 13, not just from this whole mandate, but prior to that as well. I'm not sure this would be a good place for me to work for my long-term mental health, and arguably it might be even less helpful to his physical health. It's been very stressful, he said. And remember, folks, this is on the heels of the city losing about 300 officers amidst the Antifa and Black Lives Matter riots and the Defund the Police movement. Another officer concluded the piece, told Fox 13 that, quote, losing even 50 to 75 officers in one day, the response times for the city will go up drastically, adding that if they don't approve the religious exemption, quote, I'll continue working until the day that they fire me, and that's about all I can do, unquote. And that, folks, is certainly a hell of a lot more than most of the Washington, D.C. swamp is doing. But it's good news to see that there are more and more people risking their jobs and their careers who are standing up and saying, I've had enough and I'm certainly not going to commit suicide to keep this job. It's growing by tens of thousands, says the pilot behind a viral anti-vax pro-freedom video quoted by Jim Hoft on the Gateway Pundit, who now says that thousands of pilots are joining the U.S. Freedom Flyers organization every day. Over the weekend, the brave veteran U.S. pilot, turns out he works for American Airlines, at least for now, who uses the TikTok account Cell Sauce Nutrition, posted a TikTok video arguing that his airline's vaccine mandate amounts to an ultimatum between, quote, feeding his family and freedom of choice. The pilot, who is a leader of what's called the U.S. Freedom Flyers organization and gives only the name Sean, said the following.
I've been an airline pilot for 18 years, and now I'm facing an ultimatum. Not a choice, but an ultimatum. I'm being told in order to continue my career as an airline pilot, I must be vaccinated. You may think being forced to wear a mask or get a vaccination is insignificant, but when you begin to compile mandate after mandate and loss of freedom after freedom, it becomes very significant.
Asked by Newsmax host Rob Schmidt on Rob Schmidt Tonight why he made the video, 18-year veteran pilot Sean said that, among other things, he and his wife were scared.
You know, we're being forced into a situation where for us, my family, my wife and I are both airline pilots. This is all we know. This is what we do. And now they're asking us to jeopardize our job or lose it, in fact, be terminated or possibly jeopardize our health.
And certainly, in a free country, it shouldn't be that way. And asked what kind of response he's getting now that he's come out and made the video, Sean said the number of pilots and other supporters wanting to refuse the increasing mandates is growing by leaps and bounds.
It's growing by tens of thousands. I mean, thousands every day. We're in the number of tens of thousands. And honestly, it's growing so fast now we can't even keep track, because I think a lot of people were afraid to speak out. They didn't know what to do. They were worried about possible backlash, possible termination from their jobs, you know, or their careers.
In short, he said they were under a tremendous amount of stress, which obviously, folks, was the intention. And so he put out that video.
And the response and the support and the love we've got from industries all around the country has been phenomenal.
And that's certainly good news, but it begs the question as well. Will people continue to stand up against tyranny or cave? From there, let's turn to some other signs of the times, starting with this piece from Mike LaChance via the Gateway Pundit about how more than $100 million worth of unused border wall panels are rusting away, no doubt as intended by the Biden regime down in southern Texas. Rather than helping the nation fend off the continuing and increasing invasion from the south. The New York Post reported it this way, that a Fox News drone captured footage of around 10,000 steel panels, over $100 million worth of taxpayer-paid border wall materials, and enough to build 100 miles of wall rusting in the sun in far Texas since January. And the Biden regime would rather waste 100 times that and destroy the economy to boot than turn back the invasion. Item, as if we already didn't know the election was rigged, over 284,000 ballots, says a new piece from the Gateway Pundit and Joe Hoff and via Jovan Pulitzer out of Maricopa County, are missing the required original corresponding image. In other words, somebody seems to have fudged the system. Oh, can we say that? Nah, it just seems really obvious at this point. That's one out of every 10 Maricopa County ballots in the 2020 general election, which is missing the original ballot image. Now, let's see. Do you think that would be enough to swing the election to the imposter? Like many times over. In that case, Nancy Pelosi, Speaker for the Traitors, actually let the truth slip out this week. Had to work this in sometime, and this fits nicely here. Take a listen.
Again, in fact, when people ask me, if you rule the world, what one thing would you do? I think about that a lot.
Yeah, I bet she does. And sadly, we already know the answer. And from there, I'm going to return to this theme of, no, nobody could be this stupid. They're downright evil, by introducing a new term. Because when old-fashioned I-want-you-dead bigotry just isn't enough, Big Brother and his minions turn to mega-bigotry. And that's what we've got today in spades. Campus fascism, says a headline from Ethan Huff at Natural News, Colorado State University in Fort Collins, and I'm ashamed to say that's in the state of Colorado, threatens unvaccinated students, yes, you know it, the new N-words, with arrest if they dare to show their unwanted faces on school property. And it doesn't even matter if they've already paid their fees, signed up for classes, and think they're enrolled. Hell, contracts don't mean anything anymore either. In post-biblical, post-constitutional, post-rule of law, and yes, mega-bigoted America, where tolerance is just as fake as the resident, because, you know, the P is silent, in the White House. Unvaccinated students who attend, or thought they attended, Colorado State University in Fort Collins are now being threatened with arrest if they dare to so much as show their ugly faces on campus without having had the Zyklon B mandatory poke, the needle jammed into their arms and the poison injected into their veins. Michael Katz, director at CSU's Student Resolution Center, what an idiotic name, wrote a letter to unvaccinated students, yeah, you know it, the new N-words, your kind aren't welcome here, telling them that because they did not provide proof of injection or an exemption to the school's, get this, pandemic preparedness team, they're now prohibited from even existing on campus property. Quote, since your non-compliance with this requirement poses a threat to the safety and well-being of the actual students, the university community that we care about and you are not part of, the following interim measure applies to you, you little N-words, you. Effective immediately, you are trespassed from all university property until May 16, 2022. Whoa, full stop here. And this mega bigot works for a college? This blithering idiot doesn't even speak good English. Good grief. I guess he's woke to boot. So back to the quote that pretty much defines mega bigotry. This means you, your kind, are not permitted to be on any university property or in any university buildings. This includes, but it's not limited to, residence halls, university apartments, dining halls, in-person classes, the Morgan Library, the Rec Center, and the Laurie Student Center. Unvaccinated students who are caught anywhere on campus, either indoors or outdoors, quote, may be cited or arrested for trespassing and face further disciplinary action, unquote. In other words, don't even sit at the back of the bus, you little N-words, you. You're not welcome on the bus. We don't have special drinking fountains for you. We don't have anything for you. You're not welcome anywhere. Your kind are verboten. And mind you, no Seath and Huff, all of these so-called unvaccinated students have already paid their tuition, meaning the campus took their money and is now threatening them with prosecution and imprisonment if they attempt to participate in things they've already paid for, including going to class. What a bunch of scumbags. And yes, folks, mega bigots. This is worse than anything we've seen before in American history, bar none. These new laws that really aren't laws make Jim Crow look like the welcome wagon. And as if you didn't know it already, Katz says that the university, no longer deserving of the title, isn't going to be bothered to make any alternative arrangements for the new far worse than yellow star wearers that they don't want anything to do with anymore. And as Huff's piece concludes, the fact that CSU has now adopted full-fledged fascism as new campus policy, almost certainly in violation of what once would have been called law, speaks volumes about how this was never about protecting public health. You'd have to be a CSU graduate to be stupid enough to believe something like that, but rather about imposing police state control. And by the way, folks, if that offends any CSU graduates to have their university's name dragged through the mud like that, you ought to be calling this campus and reading them the Riot Act. They've taken a degree that you probably worked hard for and dragged it through the mud. CSU should be more than ashamed. Oh, and by the way, folks, the truth is, your host actually has several postgraduate credit hours at CSU. I took some advanced engineering classes there many years ago, and they were pretty good back in the day. Now, honestly, I wouldn't send a snake there for lessons on how to bite people. It's been obvious, folks, for quite a while that there's no worse bigot than a tolerant leftist. And as one commenter on this story put it, once upon a time, some of us can remember when college was a place where you went to become more educated and enhance your intelligence and your ability to think and connect the dots. But today, it's just the opposite. It's a place where dumbed-down young people go to finish the job and become even more dumbed-down and completely indoctrinated. Not to mention join the Branch Covidian cult as well. But now they've gone way beyond insanity, beyond even stupidity on steroids, to what can only be described as mega bigotry. And don't let anybody kid you. It's deadly. This next item is a story that I almost hesitate to do, but it needs to be done simply because it's par for the course today, especially when you ponder the significance with respect to mega bigotry. A Virginia father who was arrested at a school board meeting in a place called Loudoun County while protesting its proposed transgender policies after he pointed out that his daughter had been raped in a girl's bathroom by a biological male wearing a skirt, regardless of what pronouns this thing may have wanted to use for itself, has now appeared on Laura Ingraham's show, sticking up for his daughter, who was attacked at Stonebridge High School by that pervert with a penis, and he slammed Merrick Garland, the alleged attorney general, for threatening parents who dare to protest school boards and what they're trying to do to these people's children. Scott Smith, age 48, appeared on Fox News and spoke out after he was photographed being dragged out of a school board meeting in Leesburg, Virginia this June, and painted by the left as a deranged right-wing bigot, when in fact, folks, as we now see, it's the mega bigots who are doing all of this. Evil. Smith told Laura Ingraham that his daughter was sexually assaulted at Stonebridge High School on May 28th And how does this thing force a girl to commit fellatio if, in fact, she, or it is really transgendered? I guess you need a degree from Woke U to ponder nuances like that. What he did, though, he says, was take advantage of the school's trans policies to get into the girl's bathroom so that he could commit not one, but evidently more than one assault. And he slammed the alleged Attorney General, Merrick Garland, for clamping down on the right of parents to engage in actual free speech and hopefully even throw out some of these bums who are getting their kids raped or worse. So let me say it again, folks. The gloves are off. The evil is no longer even remotely being hidden. And without doubt, it's time to choose. As the Bible puts it, will it be life and blessing or death and cursing?